Hey everybody, it's Adam, live and in person for you. Hey everybody, it's Adam, wonder who he'll interview.
Before we get started today, I want to let my listeners know that going forward, I will use this platform to not only entertain you, but to help bring about change. I have been looking inwards at myself and decided that I will be more active in the Black Lives Matter global network. I must do my part to end systematic racism. I know that through continued self-education and listening, I can help bring equality, justice, and healing to the Black community. Listed in the text of this interview are various organizations you can donate to that support Black lives everywhere. Hey everyone, it's Call Me Adam, and on this episode of Bearing It All with Call Me Adam, I am chatting with Aletha Stevens, COO of Broadway's number one ad agency, SpotCo. When we come back, we're going to talk with Aletha about her journey working in the advertising industry in theater, as well as Black Lives Matter and being the parent of a bisexual daughter. So don't go anywhere. Hi, Aletha.
Hi, Adam.
How are you?
I'm so good, and I'm so happy to be here with you.
I'm so happy that you're here. This has been a long time in the making. We've been talking about doing an interview together for over a year.
Right.
And I'm so glad I finally got it together.
Yes.
And this seemed like the perfect time to do it because we have so much to talk about.
Yes, I can't wait.
So let's start and let's introduce you to everybody. So Aletha and I met when we both worked at SpotCo. Aletha still works there. She's now the COO of SpotCo, which is Broadway's number one ad agency. And I was the office manager there for 13 years. So why don't you tell everybody how you got to SpotCo? And because you are a true, true success story. I mean, you worked your way all the way up to COO, and you really carved out a niche for yourself. And I think it would be very helpful to people to sort of spotlight all of that, how you did it. And, you know, as a woman in the industry, as a Black woman in the industry, I mean, you have made a name for yourself.
Thank you, Adam.
You're welcome.
I love that intro. May I just add that Adam was the best office manager ever.
Yes. Aww.
Thank you. So my journey at SpotCo was unique, like most journeys are. I actually had a career in the computer networking world, and 9/11 happened. And I lost my job. I started working at Kinko's back then. They had a sales department, so I handled sales. SpotCo was my client. And about 8 months into that job, SpotCo asked me to come on over and join their team. And of course, I was elated. And I joined the team not knowing anything about theater, not knowing anything about marketing. And I started as a junior account executive. And then I became an account executive and account manager. And I quickly knew that there was more for me there. And I worked as hard as I could. I founded the direct mail and print services department after that. We handled tours as well. I went on to find that there was a need for more operations at SpotCo. And so we developed an operations department. Then we realized we needed a human resources department. So I started that. And after years as the director of human resources, I landed the position as COO, and I haven't looked back. So I'm excited to be in this role, have been in this role for a few years, but I'm homegrown, got my start in the theater world at SpotCo, and here I am.
I love that story. And I came into your journey, I think you were, is when you were the direct mail, the head of direct mail services.
Yes.
Or as everyone called you, the direct mail diva.
Hello, say
hello,
it again, Adam.
Direct mail diva.
Yes.
And it was so much fun working with you. And you taught me a lot about myself. You know, we both were each other's contact. If I had any questions about the Black community, if you had any questions about the Jewish community,
yes,
we would we would be talking
info,
to each other.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Now my first experience with you, I have to share the story with everybody because it's legendary for our history.
All right, Adam, go ahead.
And it shows basic racism, not intentional.
Right.
So
biases. And
yes.
Absolutely.
So when I first started there, I would be as part of my job, I had to cover the reception desk. And when I started, there were about 40 employees there, and it was my first week. And Aletha and our friend Lavanya were going out for a cigarette break, and I think you had the phone call. Somebody called the Spaco to talk to you, and they called for Lavanya because I called you Lavanya.
Right.
So they called for Lavanya and I said, Lavanya, Lavanya, but pointing at Aletha. And Aletha turns around and she goes, you talking to me? Because I'm Aletha. That's Lavanya. Not all Black people look alike. And I I turned bright red and I was like, oh my God, that's not what I meant. I didn't mean it that way. I did. I know. And from that day forth, I never got you and Lavanya mixed up again.
That's right, Adam. I think that was a teachable moment. But I think what's important to point out is that you were able to receive me in that moment and we were able to have a great conversation about it.
Yes.
And have some fun at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It was in that moment that I knew exactly who you were, how I could be with you. And that set up the stage for our friendship.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah. I'm grateful that happened.
Me too. Me too. And then throughout the years, I mean, you were always there to support me. I always supported you.
That's right.
And it was wonderful to watch you rise up. And now you're on the executive team there as COO at Spotco. You also in the past few years have gotten a lot more involved in the theater industry as well. So I think that's very exciting because you didn't really go to theater or you weren't very active in the theater community before working at Spaco.
Right.
And now you're on a few committees as well. Can you talk about the committees that you're part of? And
sure. So I co-chair the Multicultural Task Force at the Broadway League with Stephen Bird, an amazing producer on Broadway. And I also sit on the Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Committee with the Broadway League. And I have a couple of other things up my sleeve for the coming months. So you'll hear more from me about those.
Very exciting. Yeah. And what has it been like so far at the meetings that you've had? What has been some of the discussions? I mean, I don't know if you've been meeting during the pandemic.
There's been a couple of phone conversations since the pandemic, both individual conversations, but also maybe one or two group meetings for those specific groups. There's a lot going on right now, you know, outside of the pandemic, of course, there's the whole end to systemic racism that we're all fighting for. And it's a complicated time.
Yeah. Are you able to talk about anything that the committees are doing or talking about doing to help end systematic racism in theater?
Yeah, one thing they launched yesterday on the EDI committee, they launched a speaking series. The first one yesterday was Kenny Leon being interviewed. And he's an amazing man and a great asset to the community.
Yes.
Of course, the theater community at large, but also the Black theater community. And I think that his voice is extremely important for all to hear. And he had a lot to say. I felt like it was too short. I wanted more, but I was happy to hear from him. So that's the first of many there.
People watch that if they didn't get to see it? Where could people watch it?
I believe that the League is sending out a recorded link to their members. And so that'll just spread like, you know, wildfire.
Yeah.
I'm almost sure they might have sent it out today, but I'll double check.
Okay. Especially with Kenny.
Yes, Kenny is amazing.
Yes, he is.
All of that, though, to say that there's so many different groups in our community right now that are working towards so many different angles of equality in our community specifically, mm-hmm. that, you know, I'm excited to see and be a part of and to help in any way, shape or form. But I think it's important to point out that in the theater community, we have to attack this thing called systemic racism and inequalities from every single angle. Mm-hmm. There is not a section of this theater community that is exempt, not one section. And so we need to make sure that we're all doing our part to attack the beast and make sure that we can all live an equal, fair, loving life in this community.
Yes, I agree. I agree with that. How do you, because you use your voice so well to educate people and to speak up when things aren't, when things are not right. Mm-hmm. How, as COO of the number one ad agency in Broadway,
plug it, baby.
That's right. How do you use your voice in your position, mm-hmm. to make sure there is proper equality?
Before we get to that answer, let's take a quick break and get a word in from one of our sponsors. We'll be back in a minute. Oh, wait. You don't know? You haven't heard? You must not be subscribed to the Call Me Adam Digest. When you sign up for the Call Me Adam Digest, you are the first to know. You get a front row seat to my interviews and podcast episodes where you get to discover new things about your favorite celebrities. You get personal stories from the other side of the microphone that you wouldn't know by just reading, watching, or listening to my interviews. We get to have a weekly connection and you can add some fun to your weekend. So come take a peek behind the curtain with the Call Me Adam Digest. Sign up today at callmeadam.com. Can't wait to see you there. Welcome back to Burying It All with Call Me Adam. So as you were saying.
Yeah. Well, Adam, you know, a few years back, we really started to focus on some diversity efforts within the agency. Mm-hmm. And one of my main goals was obviously to further diversify SpotCo as a company. And everybody was on board. I mean, it wasn't easy, but everybody was willing to do their part and to learn and be educated on the topic, but also to make sure that they were taking the appropriate steps. We have a zero tolerance policy for any type of racism, any type of segregation, anything like that at SpotCo. We have a zero tolerance policy. We have worked really hard to diversify our staff and to make sure that we are treating everyone equally and giving them equal opportunities and seats at the table. We have this lovely ERG group that was started by our employees for our employees to really serve as a resource to people of color and their plight at the agency and what that meant and how best to be sure that we aren't violating the space or making people feel uncomfortable and unwelcomed at our company. We do a ton of philanthropic giving, you know, Adam, that's my drug of choice.
Yes.
Give back is extremely important.
Go on.
Sorry. So we have mentoring that happens at our company in general, but I have definitely taken a hand in the step towards mentoring our employees of color, specifically our Black employees, and making sure that I understand what their experiences are at SpotCo and how I can make them better. Training is extremely important when you are diversifying your staff because you want to make sure that you retain your staff. Mm-hmm. And retaining that talent is a big piece of the puzzle. And then just making sure that you create this safe space for everyone to thrive. You know, everyone has to have equal opportunity. That may mean that you have to take extra steps to ensure that that's even a possibility for African-American employees. And I am more than willing to do the work. I think I've proven that, and I am excited that my team is more than willing to do the work with me.
Yes, I have to agree with all of that. I was going to say I don't think there was a week that went by when I was working there that there was not some email going out to the agency from you about a charity that you were working with.
That's right.
you know, toys around Christmas time. You're always collecting toys for people at your church or wherever you, yes, wherever there was a need.
You, we were there to fill the
yes,
void.
Yes. Thanksgiving turkeys. Yes. I mean, every week there was an email. Come on, more turkeys.
That's
yes,
right. We can
yes.
do it. Yes.
And we, I mean, as a company, we really stepped up to the plate and yep. you always went home with whether it was donations for the turkeys or toys for around Christmas time. Mm-hmm. There was always something and it was always great that you were taking the lead on that.
Yeah. And I was happy to have people to work with to do it. Cause I can't do it by myself. It takes a village, Adam, you know, I always
does.
Say that, right?
Yes. Yes. That is your famous saying. It takes a village, people. It takes a village.
I didn't make that, but I love to use that.
No, I know that was not on Aletha Stevens' original, but right. you do coin it very well.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. And to ever who did create that phrase, thank you, because yes. Aletha has taken it to heart. And
oh, I ran with that one.
Yes, you did. You did. And I have to say, I mean, I was at Spaco for 13 years, and the amount of diversity that happened from the time I was there to the time I left was, I want to say, like, I mean, 180 degrees. It yeah. was, it really diversified as the years went on, and it was great to see. And I mean, I made so many friends there, and it's was wonderful that it was everybody, you know, that all my friends are very multicultural, and
right.
I mean, you were always there. You always made sure everybody was treated fairly. And because I mean, I know you're just talking about that, but I just want my listeners to know that that's not just something you say. I mean, you really did. And right. if somebody wasn't being treated fairly, you made sure
you got
to the bottom of it. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And, you know, I mean, you're very easy to talk to. You're very open. And I think that's one of the things that why everybody liked coming to you for
Thank
help
you.
Because you listened, which is very important. You always gave good advice, and you always went to whoever needed, you know, to be talked to or whatever department the issue was in. You always went and spoke to them, and you got everything. You get the job done. You get everything solved.
Thank
I mean,
you, Adam.
You're welcome. Spaco's very lucky to have you.
Thank you, Ed.
You're welcome. In this time of being, like for me, being an ally to the Black community,
yeah.
And especially with my podcast and that it relates to theater and the performing arts, what do you think is something that we could do or I could do to support the Black community in theater? I'll keep it specific to theater for now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is something I could do to help more?
Yeah. I mean, I have like a full list of things to do, Adam, but I'll leave you with this. Something that I've promised to dedicate my time to is helping to fund and helping to support the small Black theater institutions.
Mm.
There are plenty of them. And I think that there's funding being moved from that area, and they've already been hanging on by a thread, plenty mm-hmm. of them, especially here in New York. And I think New Heritage Theater Group is one of my passionate small theater groups to definitely give back to in some way, shape, or form. And I encourage people to take some time and think about how they can support these small Black theater companies that exist mm-hmm. right here in New York. And if they are unsure how to do so, please reach out to me. I just want to go ahead and give a special shout out to Mr. Voza Rivers. He's kind of a big deal. I call him the mayor of Harlem. And he has run New Heritage for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think it's in its 57th year, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
And he's an amazing individual and does so much for the community at large that I understand we all can be doing more for small theater groups like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we usually will acquire work from those areas, acquire mm-hmm. Talent from those areas, and sometimes that's it. you know, we walk away with this product, come to Broadway, make it a big hit, and never look back. And many times these small theater institutions are the hub of so much in our communities. You know, they're connected to the churches, they're connected to the community centers, they're connected to so many different vital pieces in our community that when we leave them behind or don't do our part to service them and help fund them and so on, we are robbing ourselves of this major hub, this major support, this major pillar in our communities, and we have to do better.
That's very well said.
Thank you, Adam. I didn't even write that. That's from the heart. That's from the heart. So I think, you know, you'll hear more from me about that in the coming weeks, but I'm definitely focusing my efforts in that direction and really wanting to lend myself and my voice to small theater companies.
That's great. Well, I'll be sure to, in the text of the podcast, to put where people can find the theater and link and help and donate. And I'll reach out to you to see what other theater companies I should put as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll get you a list, Adam.
I would love that. I would love that.
Right. Can we talk a little bit about the Broadway Advocacy Coalition?
Yes.
Were you able to?
Yes. Okay. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Yes. I was able to attend it.
Good.
And I was very inspired by it. It certainly made me think about a lot of my own, I guess, subconscious prejudices. You know, hearing the stories of when LaShans was talking about how there was one show that she was in where she didn't get paid as much as her white counterpart got paid. And like when she was on the AT&T commercial, how she got the smallest
dressing room.
You know, it made me think here and there. I think there were times at Spaco where I subconsciously may have helped somebody who was not Black first. And it made me reflect on that and you know, realize that I did that subconsciously and going forward not to do that.
Right.
You know, even the mix up of you and Lavanya my first week, you know, it's something that, you know, then I strive to moving forward, I made sure never to do again.
That's right. I think it's so important that you brought that up, Adam, because we're gonna make mistakes along the way. Right. If anyone thinks that this is gonna be a walk in the park, think again. It took us 400 years to get here. It's going to take us a lot of years to get out of here. And I'll tell you that we have to make sure that we learn from our mistakes and we don't repeat the mistakes. And that we continue to grow together. And so that's so important. I don't think anyone's going to be perfect. And I know a lot of people are on eggshells, you know, just scared to say anything wrong or upset the people in our, you know, I think you need to be your genuine self, you know, and if you understand and learn along the way that your genuine self is not enough, maybe you need to educate yourself some more, you know, maybe you're not proud of who you are because you are unsure of where you came from, or, you know, maybe you don't really understand the plight of a Black person and maybe you need to dig a little deeper there, phone a friend, I don't know. But the bottom line is that the idea is that there's forward movement every step of the way. I'll tell you with that, the 3-day forum, I enjoyed it so much. One, I think it feels like a lot of times that I'm the only one. And when I got on there and was able to see all my brothers and sisters, I was like, ooh, yes, thank you, Jesus. There's more of us. We are here. I didn't feel alone. I felt like there were a group of people that understood my plight and we could be real and be ourselves and nurture each other. And so it definitely brought me to a place that of course had me digging deep within myself to check some things about me too, because I'm not perfect.
You're not?
No, I know. Now God dug into that good stuff when he made me, honey, but I ain't perfect, you know, But I'll tell you this. So I think it was uplifting, inspirational, and it gave me hope.
Yes.
For the first time in a long time.
Yes.
It gave me hope. And it was much needed. It was long overdue.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, it gets lonely. Like I said, you know, sharing space with my people will always soothe my soul,
mm-hmm.
And bring out the best authentic me, you know, and it just felt so good to see my brothers and sisters out there fighting for what's right. And I'm so excited about what the future has in store for us. And I know this is like the hard part. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's just going to get harder. And we got to plow through and we have to be consistent. We can't just, you know, put a program in place and walk away from it next year. These things have to be consistent projects that we are working on for years to come. And we have to be diligent about that. And we have to hold each other accountable.
Yes. Yes. It's an ongoing process. It's not, right. It's not a one and done.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I will say the coalition meetings also, it gave me just so much insight as to what Black theater performers and directors and choreographers, mm-hmm. I mean, what they go through. I mean, I had no idea how some of them felt, in the rehearsal rooms and some jobs that they lost because they were speaking up for themselves because something unfairly happened to them, that they lost a job because they were actually standing up for themselves.
Right, you become the problem child.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's right.
And, you know, that's definitely, I mean, nobody should be fired because they're standing up for themselves and speaking up for something that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you attend the first session?
I sure did. I enjoyed it.
What was that like?
Adam, it's a secret society. I can't tell you everything. But what I can tell you is this. Okay. The first session definitely healed my soul. I think that I needed a moment of reflection, but also I think that I needed a moment of support from people that genuinely understand what it is like to be a Black person in this industry, mm-hmm. and what it's been like to be a Black person in this industry. So that first day was a day of spiritual uplifting for me. I'll tell you that. Now, I ain't going to tell you everything, but that's about all I'm going to tell you, Adam.
That is fair that is all you can tell me, because I was going to say I didn't feel like I was able to join that first day because they did specifically say it was for the Black theater artists.
Yes.
To come and speak and
yes,
and I think it's great that they had a day for everybody, for all the Black theater artists, without any of the white folks there, because it just, I feel like it gave them a freedom to really just speak openly and not have to worry about who was listening, mm-hmm. and then the other 2 days to have everybody included. I think a lot of eyes were opened to what has been happening, like you said, for a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
And, it is going to be an ongoing process. And one thing I do also keep hearing a lot is, like you said, don't be afraid to make mistakes. If you don't know what to say, either ask how you should say it, or if you do say the wrong thing, learn from it and, you know, move forward.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's very important.
It is. So why don't we just take a short little break? And when we come back, let's talk about, because it is Pride Month, you are the mother of a bisexual daughter.
I am.
So I would love to talk about her journey and your journey,
yes.
with her coming out. So okay. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Aletha.
Do you remember watching your favorite celebrity being interviewed, but you could tell there was more to that interview than what was being shown? My name is Adam Rothenberg, and in the past 16 years, I have interviewed over 2,200 artists and celebrities. And I am here to tell you that yes, there is definitely more to the interviews you have watched, read, or listened to. In my debut book, Behind the Curtain, The Mistakes, Lessons Learned, and Triumphs of Interviewing Celebrities, I take you behind the scenes of what really happens during an interview, sharing the joys, the pitfalls, and the OMG moments. You can get your copy on Amazon or through my entertainment platform, callmeadam.com. You can get your very own autographed copy.
Hey everyone, my name is Aletha Stevens and you're listening to Bearing It All with Call Me Adam.
And now we're back.
Yes.
So like I just said before break, it is Pride Month and your daughter came out a year, maybe 2 years ago?
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago, yeah.
The time, it all blends together.
Yeah,
the time.
It's all.
Yes, fun. Yes. So what was it like when she came out to you? Did you have any idea beforehand? Did she come to you? Did you approach her?
She came to me. I mean, I have a very close relationship with my daughter. She's amazing. I love her. She's so different and so unique. She and I click, you know, in a way that I'm so grateful for. And I knew, I had a feeling, I wouldn't say I knew, I had a feeling that, you know, she was definitely, thinking about who she was as an individual and trying to find herself, and I'm all for it, you know? She came to me one day and she asked what I call is the safe question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what would you say if I said, you know, that type of thing?
Yes. Yes.
And so she said, what would I say if she said that she likes girls and boys? And so I was like, so I like boys. Like, I don't care. And she was like, you don't? I was like, no, why would I care? You know? And, She just like lit up and she was like, I didn't want you to be angry. I was like, about what? Like, there's nothing to be angry about. Like, love who you want to love. As long as you are making sure that you work on yourself and your education and that you put yourself first and you grow and you nurture others around you, there's nothing for me to talk about. You know, make those decisions by yourself and live your best life. I'm for it. Let's go. I'll tell you a funny story about maybe it had to be a few years ago, Adam. Maybe she's 16 now. So maybe it was when she was about like 12.
Okay.
And so, cause I feel like she was small. And Janice was even smaller. And so she was like, well, can I tell Jima, who's my mother? You know, Claudia, everyone loves Claudia. Shout out to Claudia.
Shout out to Claudia, definitely.
And I said, of course you can tell whoever you want. And so she goes to my mom. And she tells my mom, and my mom's like, so? Matter of fact, you know what? There's a parade today. Let's go to the parade. So my mother takes her to the parade. She comes back home with her first flag, and she's running through the house, and she's just so free. And it's just, you know, what bothered me was, I thought, how long has she been holding this in and feeling like she can't tell me this? And what about me? Made her feel like she had to be reserved with giving me that information whenever she felt the time was right. And so I talked to her a bit about it because I thought maybe there was something that I said or did that made her feel like she couldn't be the best her. And she was like, no, I just hear like my friends' stories about when they've told their parents. And so I started to get scared. And I was like, their parents were like, upset. Like, I was so confused and shame on me. I hadn't, you know, understood how other people may react when their children tell them that, because for me, it was a no-brainer. So what?
Yes.
I don't care. You know, you're alive, you're healthy. Who gives a shit? It gave me a moment to reflect. And I think I talked to you about it. And just really wanting to check myself and make sure that I'm not giving off any type of energy that says that I don't love everybody. You know, and I wouldn't love my kids just the same. Like, well, let me just check myself for a minute, you know. But we have the greatest relationship. She has friends that have different sexual preferences. You know, she has all types of friends, and some of them had a hard time telling their parents, some didn't. But I'm sure her friends probably knew before I did.
Yes.
But regardless, I just, you know, she's been nothing but an amazing, intelligent, respectful young lady that I have to just thank God for that, you know, and just know that she'll make whatever decision she needs to make moving forward, whatever works for her. As long as she's happy, I'm happy. She likes it. I love it. That's it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's that way because of you. I mean,
thank you.
Hello, you raised her.
I did.
I mean, you know, you have a great relationship with all your kids. You're very involved in their lives, and that means, I know that means so much to them. I mean, my parents were very involved in my life too. Yes. And I could understand why Carice was nervous to tell you, because like when I was coming out to my parents, you know, before I told them, yeah, I told all my friends, but in doing research about it, you do hear the stories of parents who are not accepting or who kicked them out. And I mean, right. I packed an overnight bag when I told my parents on the slim chance that
just in case
they did kick me out. And I remember when I came out to them, my mom said the thing that she was most upset about wasn't that I was gay. It was that I packed an overnight bag thinking they would kick me out.
Yes. But I hate you, girl, because it's just, I mean, it hurt me. I really thought, where did I go wrong? You know, but she tells me it wasn't me, so I'll take that. But I still had to check myself, you know?
Yes.
And as parents, I think, you know, the gift that we have by having children and being blessed with them, we have to make sure that we use that gift wisely, and teach our children all the things that they need to know about themselves and the world, and prepare them for this world that is so rough and tough out there. If it's from, you know, just because my children are Black and the struggles that they'll have being Black, or because my daughter's bisexual and Black and the struggles that she'll have being, but you know, like, just really preparing them for what's out there in the world. And every time we do that as parents, we take away some of their innocence. But that innocence that we're taking from them can lead to them being able to survive these streets, you know, and it's hard. It's hard because you take some to give some, you know, you take the innocence to give life. And it's a struggle. It's a struggle.
Yes. But your kids are very lucky to have your guidance. And
I'm lucky to have them too, Adam. They set me straight.
They do. And you know, I mean, you also, one other thing I do want to point out, because it's very admirable, is, I mean, you raised them all as a single mother.
Yeah, I do. Well, I'm not all.
I mean, now you have, no, right.
I'm married, everyone.
You're married now, yes.
Adam, don't get me in trouble. I have a husband, everybody.
Yes, I know. I don't want OJ coming over being like, why are you telling the world that she's not married?
I was a single mother for a long while. And when I got married, of course, things, the dynamic changed. And I think, you know, it's so different being able to have a partner, you know, to do this with. And I'm so grateful for him as well. I love you, OJ.
Yes, he's the best. He's the best. I mean, I remember when you met him and then you got married and, you know, and you had Janice and, you know, it's great. But the first few years I knew you, you were a single mother then.
That's right.
And you were raising Silbert and Carice on your own. And, you know, I mean, you did it all. You raised your kids, you worked, and, you know, you found love again.
Yes.
You worked your way up in a company to the executive team. I mean, I know I said at the beginning of the interview, but it's worth repeating. I mean, you are truly like a success story.
Thank you, Adam.
In so many ways. Yes.
Thank you. I mean, we can go 10 steps further. You know, I was a teenage mom. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was a college dropout. You know, I was a product of a single parent home. My father was a drug addict. Mm-hmm. My mother, Claudia, raised me all by herself. So you want to make sure that whatever you do moving forward is better than your parents did, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful to be here, A. Grateful to be here.
Well, we're grateful that you are here. I mean, my experience as Baco would have been completely different if you weren't there.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wouldn't have gotten a friend out of it.
That's right. That's right. I'm happy to have you as a friend.
I'm happy to have you. And I'm glad that we have stayed in touch. And I know we haven't spoken as much since I left, but but
we've been busy.
I know. There's a lot of things happening. But I'm thrilled that we get to reconnect here, and we get to share your story with literally the world.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Let's take another quick break. And when we come back, I do want to talk about some of your hobbies that you have.
Ooh,
and I do want to spotlight one more achievement of yours. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Aletha. And now we're back.
Yes.
So before we get to your hobbies, I do want to also mention while you were working your way up in Spotco and raising a family, you also started your own business.
I did. It's non-existent now.
But
I had a restaurant in the Bronx, a restaurant lounge, for 5 years throughout this lovely process and journey. Learned a
Essentials.
Whole lot. Yeah, Essentials. Right? 608. Yes. Yeah, it was on Fordham Road in the Bronx. And I had 5 years to learn that industry. It's tough as hell. But I learned so much. I met so many people. I did so much work with and for the community. I have no regrets there. I still get calls about it today. And so I'm like, no, I'm not coming back. Leave me alone. I want my life back. I miss a lot, you know, when you sacrifice to be an entrepreneur while you have a full-time job and a house for the children, you sacrifice time with them. And the time that I sacrificed, obviously I can't get back. But I felt like, you know, moving forward, I definitely need to spend more time with my kids. Quarantine has taught me so many things that I may have messed up on. They need to learn some more stuff, like cleaning their rooms. They don't have that part down packed yet, Adam. And I had to assign dishes and I mean, I had to give people chores because the folk were not cleaning up the house, Adam. So I learned that, you know, some of that time that I spent being an entrepreneur definitely was taken from my family. And so I'm an entrepreneurial spirit. I will continue to have businesses. I've had a few over the years and a couple are still going slowly but surely. But I just need to make sure that I'm balancing work and life and I'm not killing myself for a dollar. You know, I'm not selling my soul for a dollar.
Yes.
And that my children don't lose what they need from me. Learning how to clean the house. Because I tell you, Adam, I missed that one. I don't know what I did wrong with them damn kids. Oh, sorry, y'all. My children have to work on cleaning the house.
It surprises me actually to hear that, because you were always on me when something wasn't clean at the office. Adam. I mean, it actually shocks me that.
But Adam, I was with you more than I was with my kids.
Yes. Well, that's, I guess that's where your energy went to making sure I had the office spotless.
You did a great job.
No, I did. I know. But it's funny to hear that.
Yes.
So let's talk about some hobbies, because I want everyone to get a well-rounded picture of you. Not that they haven't already, but. So what do you like to do? What are your hobbies?
I would say my drug of choice is giving back. Everything that I even do, I guess on freelance time is about giving back and nurturing my community, my people, my children. I love basketball too. I'm a basketball mom. My kids play basketball. Although I think my grandson's going to play football. He's built like a linebacker. But that said, I will become a football grandmom after all said and done. So I like sports. I like family time. But, you know, whenever I'm speaking or spending time with my family and my kids, they're like, what are you thinking about, Ma? Because we can tell your wheels are spinning. Like, who are we going to give everything to this time? You know? But they always, you know, support everything that I'm doing. And I think that paying it forward is so important. And I get this crazy gratification and I'm consumed with like love and my heart melts when it's time to give. And, you know, it's I'm like a junkie for it.
Yes.
And I'm talking about grassroots stuff. I don't want to just, you know, write a check to the Red Cross or nothing. You know, I want to go meet these people that need help. I want to understand exactly what they need and I want to supply it for them. So yeah, that's my biggest hobby, Adam. I can tie that into everything that I do.
And I was going to say, you were always on the front lines with every charity that, you know, I knew about that we gave to at Spotco. You were always there day of the event. You were meeting everybody, talking to everybody.
Yes.
And like you mentioned with the basketball, I mean, you were at every one of Silbert's games because you would come in Monday with no voice and I'd be like, what happened to you? And you would be like,
at those games.
Ask that.
I'm that mom. I, you know,
yes.
I'm screaming at the refs. I'm screaming at the kids. I'm a mess at those. I'm so passionate about it.
Yes, you are. I know. But he's so lucky to like have you there and you know, you're able to cheer him on and I'm sure you're cheering everybody on and everybody feels your love and your passion.
Oh, thank you, Adam. Yeah, I try to be as positive as possible. You know, every once in a while I slip up, but
Yes. But I would say 99% of the time you are an angel and you are always giving and it's wonderful. We're just so lucky. We're so lucky to have you and all your insight and dedication.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here speaking with you. You have grown so much as an individual over the years, Adam. I can take a little bit of credit for it, but not enough. I think, you know, you were raised by amazing parents, and I think that you have done your work. I think that you'll continue to do your work because none of us are where we need to be. But I'm proud of you, and I'm so excited that you asked me to join you today. And I wouldn't have been anywhere else but here with you, Adam.
Oh, I love you so much.
I love you too.
Thank you for coming on the show. And where can everybody find you on social media if they want to reach out to you?
I am at Aletha, on, Instagram, spell my name, AA, that's two A's people, LYTHA. It's a unique spelling, so I get to use my first name as my handle on Instagram. Facebook, I'm Aletha Stevens. I think I'm Aletha on Twitter too, but I'm not very active there. Instagram is really where I funnel all of my social media efforts, but I'm not huge on social media, so like give me a second if you like send me a request. I'm sorry, I'm working on me. Brian Dratch from Spocko is going to help me navigate the world of social media. So yeah, that part.
That's a great connection
yes.
to have. Yes, he will definitely, you will be a wizard at social media.
Yeah, one
yes.
step at a time, Adam.
Yes.
You know, it's not my thing, but I'm getting there.
No, you'll be able to learn. Yeah, I love it. Well, everybody listening, I just forgot what I was going to say.
I'll tell you. Listen, keep tuning in to Adam's show. He's doing the damn thing. I'm proud of him. And you're going to miss out. So go on and tune in every single time he goes live. Go ahead, Adam.
That is exactly what I was going to say.
He'll get the dirt and the scoop and the story, for he happens to be in the know. Just ask anybody who's had him. Adam lives for the business of show. Call me adam.com.
Find more episodes of Burying It All with Call Me Adam everywhere podcasts are streamed, including iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Follow me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at CallMeAdamNYC. For my print and video interviews, visit my website, callmeadam.com.